Thank you for being here this morning as we continue making our journey to heaven. Thank you for helping me make that journey. And I hope the things we study will help you in making that journey to heaven. We're studying the threat of pornography making sex an idol. And I turn your attention to Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 21, where we learn to walk in love in a sex-saturated society. Because the challenges we face are not new, and the Word of God equips us to meet this challenge today. Christ is our perfect example of the love of God. Notice verses 1 and 2 in Ephesians 5. We want to follow the love of God exemplified in Christ. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, how do I do that? And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So, to follow God, I need to walk in the love of Christ, which was so unselfish that he fully gave himself to die on the cross for my sins. I am to walk after that pattern of love. That's how the chapter begins, because there is contrast in this chapter. On one side is the amoral, self-indulgent life of lust. You will see that described. On the other side is pointing us to a life of moral purity based on self-denial and selfless service. That's a very different lifestyle. Now, the writer points out that God's wrath is manifested against all forms of immorality. God will punish sin. He has zero intolerance for immorality. Read that with me in verses 3 to 6. But fornication and all uncleanness, such practices as pornography qualify there, or covetousness, this obsessive desire for sex, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. This is important. Now watch this. For because of these things, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. God will punish sin. So in this passage, let me point out the world they lived in. The Greco-Roman world at this time considered fornication as a matter of moral indifference. It was indulged in without shame or scruple, as one writer has pointed out. So, do you like chocolate or vanilla better? Well, fornication was just like chocolate or vanilla. It was considered morally indifferent. It was typical that men married and had their family, but they had other lovers, even homosexual lovers. It was just the way we live at that time. But you know, I like here in verse 3 that such things should not be once named among you, but the NIV put it this way, not even a hint. Correct. Not even a hint of these things should be found among us. Now, covetousness is being used in a sexual context here. You find that in chapter 4, verse 19, then here in chapter 5, verses 3 and 5, and in Colossians 3, verse 5, the same thing. This unrestrained desire for more, 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 it becomes the idol in a person's life. Sexual desire can become so obsessive, it drives the life, then it is the god, it is the idol. And there are things that inflame these desires outside the bonds of marriage. This is why dancing is wrong. And we're not going to send our teenagers to dances ever, not even the prom. This is unclean conduct. Then, improper touching, immodest dress, songs that promote fornication and uncleanness, unclean speech, and pornography. These are practices that inflame that unrestrained desire. And as we've studied, it's just a trap of Satan. It's so empty and brings no fulfillment or meaning or serves no good purpose. It is just another trap of Satan. The pornography spiral down it goes, destroying the character of the person. The person gets caught and addicted and thinks they cannot stop. The person will lie to cover this up. And in many cases, they are led to grosser and grosser forms of pornography. Some are so gross, we would not want to mention such things. It leads to acting out, as Ted Bundy pointed out. It can even lead to child pornography, which is also rampant now. It can result in sexually transmitted diseases. There are something like 30 of those diseases, and not all of them can be successfully treated. It can lead to divorce. And I've already mentioned this morning, it can lead to suicide. Now, remember what we read here. God manifests his wrath in temporal ways, and he will in eternity. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. These sins will be punished. Do not be deceived. Now, the writer goes ahead. Paul says that we must learn to reject and rebuke this life of immorality. We should shine as lights in this dark world. Please study with me verses 7 to 14. People desperately need to see the light of Christ shining in us. Let's notice verse 7. Be not you therefore partakers with them. For you sometimes were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. There's your light. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. The light of God's truth exposes those things that are wrong, that need to be reproved. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That light of Christ is so desperately needed in this dark and evil world. How do we manifest that light? And Paul said, by goodness and righteousness and truth, we manifest the light, and the light exposes the evil. Light exposes evil for what it really is. Think about that. By learning the truth and shining the truth, evil will be exposed for what it is. It is evil. People will see that contrast. And when you live by walking in the light, your very life is a call for people to repent of these sins. And some people get that significance, and this is why they will despise you. They don't want to hear that message. But we must shine that light. We must. And this is a life guided by the Holy Spirit rather than guided by unrestrained lust. Let's read that in verses 15 to 21. He pictures a lifestyle of praising God and serving others. And that will connect all the way back to the first two verses. Followers of God, learning to be like Christ. All right, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, very carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what would it mean if I am filled with the Spirit, and how would you know? He gives three markers of people that are filled with the Spirit. Number one, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A life of worship is a life filled with the Spirit. Number two, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you walk in a life of thanksgiving to God, when you daily count your blessings, not your complaints, you are filled with the Spirit. Number three, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Learning to serve others is one of those markers that your life is filled with the Spirit. So Paul says, learn to be wise, because wise people take careful steps in life. Under God's guidance and God's instruction, we make every decision, take every step. And then he gave a caution here. Intoxication lowers inhibitions and makes us more vulnerable to the temptations of Satan. Intoxication leads to the very sins discussed in this context. So he says, don't be filled with wine. Rather, be filled with the Spirit. And it changes your character. You will learn to live praising God, giving thanks to God. And that life builds your character, which therefore prevents these sins invading your life. Now, walking in love, this leads him to discuss Christ and the church, a man and his wife. That makes a concrete application of the things he has been discussing. Verses 22 to 33, I won't try to read those this morning. I think you are familiar with that paragraph, but it pictures a life of unselfish love as a husband serves the wife and the wife serves the husband. Do you see that is an example of the life he's been teaching us to live, learning to serve others? And here's the transition into that part of the chapter. When verse 21 said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another is learning to serve each other, to think of the other person. And what better way do we learn that than in our marriage? I need to daily learn to be a better servant to Donna, my wife. That's how I need to think. That's how I need to live. We're learning to be followers of God by manifesting the love that Christ has shown to us. So Paul discusses marriage. Marriage based on love and trust and security. Marriage thrives on a sense of self-worth, well-being, finding fulfillment and satisfaction in life. All of those blessings are wrapped up in marriage as God designed it. But here's the point for this morning's lessons. Pornography shifts our attention from that life to these obscene images, and by feeding on those, we fall deeper and deeper into the darkness, and Satan will consume us. Marriage requires love and trust and security, but pornography thrives on lies. The person instinctively learns to cover up what he's doing. So he's learning to live by lies. And then I've already mentioned how that he will learn to manipulate. He will make the victim the criminal and the criminal the victim. When the wife tries to correct him, "Oh, your Mrs. So righteous, and I thought you were a Christian. You're supposed to be forgiving." So now, she is the criminal and he is the poor victim. This is a lie. He's learning how to live a lie and manipulate people by lies. The pornography makes the wife feel ugly and useless. She cannot match the images that he's feeding on. And so this dismantles the love and the trust and the security and the sense of well-being necessary for the marriage to thrive. Well, we can overcome the sin and the devastation of pornography. Study with me several minutes. Let's concentrate on overcoming these sins, because the gospel is God's solution to all sin, including the sin of pornography. We're reminded of that in Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Is the gospel sufficient power to overcome the sin of pornography, even to break the cycle and the addiction that pornography creates? And the answer is yes. The gospel is that power. And I want to study a few minutes about how that power works. How does this transformation take place so that we overcome the sin and devastation of pornography? A growing fellowship with God lifts the soul to higher ground. A growing fellowship with God refreshes the soul and rebuilds the character that has been destroyed by sin, including the sin of pornography. We're going to study about this growing fellowship with God. First, we must be reconciled to God. And that's made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is why Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16 with these words, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Because when the blood of Christ washes our sins away, we now are in fellowship with God, and that is why it is called a new birth. We begin a new life, and this will refresh the soul and build our character. And even in the case of a Christian who falls back into sin and is restored, we read of that in 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When the Christian brings his sins to the cross of Christ, he again renews that fellowship with God that refreshes his soul and rebuilds his character. So let's talk about this process. It involves growing closer to God day by day, in prayer and Bible study. This is how we strengthen that fellowship and that companionship. Think of Psalm 19, verse 14. David prayed, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Folks, this is not rocket science. This is simple as it can be. Just like a marriage thrives on good communication, our fellowship with God thrives on good communication. And this is good communication. Praying like David for God to help us guide the words of our mouth and to guard the things that we meditate on in the heart. Ask God to help you in that way. He wants to hear that prayer and He is ready to help. Here's another stepping stone. In Psalm 27, 13 and 14, David said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." He had seen God's goodness in his own life. And he learned this: wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So Rome wasn't built in a day, as the old expression goes. Trust in God's providence as you fight your way out of the wrong habits of sin. It doesn't happen just by snapping your finger in one moment. God forgives you in one moment, but replacing those old bad habits and addictions is not the work of one moment. But trust that God is watching and helping. And so wait on the Lord who is helping you. Trust in that. And then this: God is going to give you hope. David was in a desperate situation when Saul was seeking to kill him and the army scattered out looking for David. And David was literally living in a cave. Have you ever lived in a cave? But look what David says in Psalm 57, verse 1. This is your prayer too. "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." That's this part. "Until these calamities be overpassed." Instead of drowning in self-pity, David said, "Lord, I know my life is in your hand. I'll just be like a little chick getting under the wings of the hen. And in time, these calamities will pass." Isn't that a beautiful trust and faith? And you can have that trust and faith as you're fighting your way out of the caves of sin, including pornography. Learn to wait on the Lord and let Him help you until these calamities will pass. And then remember, as you fill your heart with God's word, this is the power that defeats sin. Psalm 101, verse 3. "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me." You're going to learn the art and the skill of bouncing your eyes, literally. So you're at the grocery store or the gas station, and here's some woman with almost no clothes on. What am I supposed to do? "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I move my eyes." That's just how hard that is. You move your eyes. And if you're with some people at work and boom, they call up a pornographic picture, you move your eyes. You don't partake in that. And so what is happening, you're growing closer to God as you take those steps. The Word of God is teaching you how to take those steps. You do not set the wicked things before your eyes. And then, Psalm 119, 9 to 11, God's Word will cleanse and protect a person's heart and life. Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" We're thinking about cleaning up our life here when pornography has has darkened our life, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The best thing, the word of God, in the best place in your heart. And the more you fill your heart with God's word, he cleanses your way and protects you from these dangers of sin. And then 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil, follow that which is true and right. Flee also youthful lust. Now, pornography pulls you back into those youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So consciously flee from the evil. Push those things out of your life. You must learn to fight like a soldier. In 1 Peter 1:15 to 16, God is our inspiration as we make this transition. We serve a holy God. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So what I'm saying is, you make this adjustment, this transformation, you keep focusing on the fact that we serve a holy God, and that is our inspiration to become like him. Pornography cannot be part of that story. It just cannot fit. And then think of this. The soul is struggling to overcome something, and God is feeding the soul. Just like the infant eats and grows, the young man eats and grows. Well, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may, what will happen? That you may grow thereby. Have that intense desire to study and meditate on, learn, memorize the word of God, and you will grow. And that is how you will overcome the sin of pornography. And then growing closer to God in prayer and Bible study, let me say again, you need the heart of a soldier. You've got to learn this is a war, and soldiers have to fight. Engage your battle. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You are in a war. And pornography happens to be the part of the war that has invaded your life. And you're now pushing that out of your life, and you fight like a soldier to push it out. Have that heart of a soldier. That's how you engage the battle. And then you might say, but Brother Halbrook, I was caught in that trap for so long, I don't know if I could ever truly escape the influence of that pornography. Well, give your fears to God. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He knows you're struggling. He won't forget you. Give your fears to him and keep fighting the good fight. Yes, you can defeat it. You can overcome it. Study Bible characters who teach self-control. Think about Joseph in Genesis 39, 12, when Potiphar's wife tried to hold his body and stir his lust. What did he do? It wasn't time to say, could we have a Bible study? It was time to move his feet, and he moved his feet. And I'm literally saying there are times you need to move your feet. Separate yourself from that circle that's discussing pornography and such things. And then remember Job 31, verse 1, that Job made a vow that I will not focus on young maidens. So Job understood what we talked about a while ago. You learn to bounce your eyes, move your eyes. Do not focus on things that will cause temptation. Think about what Jesus taught in Matthew 5, 27 to 30. Adultery is a horrendous sin, but Jesus said it starts in your heart. So guard your heart. If those thoughts invade, you push them out. And so you study Bible characters. This is another thing to help you overcome and defeat the sin of pornography. But here's something else. Seek and follow good counsel. Learn to apply the principles that you would in other things to this challenge. If you wanted to learn to be a carpenter, spend time with carpenters. You want to learn some other skill or some profession, spend time with people who already know about those things. So I go to Proverbs 24, verse 5 and 6. I'm just like you. I have a few favorite verses. This is one of mine because this has helped me so much. Proverbs 24, 5 and 6. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Do not hesitate to seek advice from people that can help you as you're fighting to overcome sin, including the sin of pornography. There are resources available. There are mature Christians that can give you good advice and guidance. And there are experienced counselors and writers that concentrate on overcoming pornography. Search out those resources. Access those resources. There are websites devoted to this issue. So think in terms of finding resources and counsel. And then arrange accountability. Make yourself accountable. Do not hide in a cave. First, let us be open and transparent with God. We are accountable to Him. Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So we're not going to try to hide from God what we're doing. We have the opposite mindset. I want God to see me from the inside to the outside because He's my helper. I'm accountable to Him. And that includes Proverbs 28, verse 13. We are going to freely confess our sins when we stumble. We do not try to cover this up. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So we're not going to be afraid to confess our sins when we stumble and have setbacks. This is making ourselves open to God. And ask God's daily help as David did in Psalm 19. Notice in verses 12 to 14. This is David making himself transparent in the presence of God. Who can understand his errors? It means I want to understand. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Instead of hiding something, David says, Lord, if there are sins I'm committing that I don't notice, show me. Show me. And keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, stubbornness. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Do you see how David is just opening his heart here? Lord, I not only ask you to protect me from stubbornness, but show me, even if I'm making mistakes that I don't see right now. He's not hiding anything, is he? He's making himself open. That's how we overcome sin. Be accountable to your mate. Be accountable to elders in the church who can help and strengthen you. Be accountable to other saints, some of whom have overcome the same sin. This openness helps you fight the fight and overcome the sin. Use electronic media in the open, guarding yourself. Use safeguards. Download things that block pornography. Be proactive. Think in terms of fighting and overcoming the sin. And that includes this being accountable to others. All right, one more thing. Brethren, in my years of preaching, I have dealt with numerous cases of pornography in the church. Church members, this is not going to go away. If anything, it will get worse. But we have to take the approach that we are ready to forgive the sinner. We're not bashing people, not trying to drive away people. We're trying to bring them with their sins to the cross. And lest Satan get an advantage, we have to be ready to forgive this sinner. Because, well, there are a lot of reasons, but one is this: love and forgiveness help the sinner break the bonds of the sin. When he or she can see that forgiving spirit in you, it inspires them that, yes, I can overcome, and yes, I want to overcome my sin. Let me give you an example straight from the Bible. Remember 1 Corinthians 5? The sin of a member of the church who took his father's wife and they withdrew from him. But in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 8 to 11, Paul addresses this issue again. That man repented, and that brazen, disgusting sin must be forgiven. We don't receive them back thinking how good we are because we didn't commit that sin. We truly and freely from the heart want to forgive. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Paul said, I've written to you to see if you'll be obedient in this. Verse 10, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. And then verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So if we are not willing to truly, freely forgive the brother or sister caught in the trap of pornography, our unwillingness to receive them pushes them back to Satan. So we need to think about this. Think ahead. When cases arise, we're ready to forgive. 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8, talking about how love conducts itself. Love expresses hope in a way that gives hope. That is what this part means. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Love beareth all things, believeth all things. I believe you can do better. I'm going to encourage you in that. Hopeth all things. We have hope for this person. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. It means we just don't give up on each other. And so if someone falls into that trap and then they bring their sins to the cross, lift them up with your love and forgiveness and give them hope. Give them hope. Now, in cases of addiction, whether it could be alcohol or drugs or pornography or other things, we must be ready to be there for this person because in all likelihood, because of the power of these past habits and addictions, they may stumble again. Then what are we going to do? Well, that's just what I thought. He's not going to make it. No use fooling with him. No, let's remember Matthew 18, when Peter said, Lord, how many times are we going to forgive? Would it be as much as seven? Such a huge number as seven times? And you know what Jesus said, Matthew 18, 22. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. It means we are ready to forgive no matter how many times they have to repent. This is the heart we want to have. Lest Satan get an advantage. We want to rescue the perishing. So remember, the threat of pornography making sex an idol is not a new battle. We read of this in Ephesians 5, 3 to 5. People so obsessed with sexual desire, it became their idol. Pornography depicts erotic and lewd sexual scenes in writing or pictures. And Paul gives a clear warning against such sins: fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Let it not be once named among you, not even a hint. And verse 5, know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So we study pornography because it is a threat to our own morality, to our marriages and our homes, and to our nation. We have studied God's purpose for sex, what it can do. In the context of marriage, it is a great blessing. But then what it cannot do, taken out of the context of marriage, it cannot bring fulfillment and satisfaction. We've studied that pornography and sex have been false gods throughout history, so it's not going to go away, and we are simply going to have to rise up and meet the challenge. Walking in love in a sex-saturated society, we study passages like Ephesians 5, just as the Christians then had to learn to meet this challenge, we are going to meet this challenge. We're going to learn to walk in love. We must learn how to overcome the sin and the devastation of pornography. The Word of God equips us to do that. And so let's be ready to do that. Lest Satan get advantage, we must be ready to forgive the sinner. I want you to know there's good news in Christ. These sins crush people down to the ground. But we rise up in Christ, finding rest and hope and peace. I think again of Psalm 19, verse 14. This should be our prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We will find that rest and hope and peace in God. He is our strength. He is our Redeemer. If you need to be reconciled to God today, we call you to the cross of Christ and to the blood of Christ. You may be here as a Christian, fallen back into sin. Remember the principle that we have read in Proverbs 28, 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Bring your sins this morning to the cross, lay them down, and forsake them, and God's mercy will forgive. You may be one who has never obeyed the gospel. We sing an invitation song calling you to the cross of Jesus Christ in the very words of Acts 22, 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He loves you. He wants to save you. But you must make the decision that you're willing to receive his forgiveness. Fight for your salvation. Fight to save your husband. Fight to save your wife. Fight to save your children and your grandchildren. Fight by taking the gospel to every person who will listen. If you need to obey the gospel, come this morning as we stand, as we sing. Will you come?